This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum and thispipelife.com. We thank them for their support of this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD.
Hey, Bo. Good evening, man.
Man, good evening to you, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing great. You know, we successfully produce this podcast once a week.
Successfully.
Successfully. All this is relative, you know, but, technical demons or not, we've been informed by a listener, Portland Paul, that we sound terrible tonight, but it's just normal terrible. It's not extra terrible.
That's good.
So, yeah.
That's good.
So we're thankful for that.
Very much so. You know, I mentioned it. I feel like, I don't know if I mentioned on the podcast, but I'll mention it now on the podcast, but in previous weeks, last week, we got a notification from Google or from YouTube saying that they were going to do away with Google Hangout Live and it was going to become this new thing. And I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. It was not cool.
It was, yeah, no. It wasn't cool.
And
they made it more unuser friendly.
This is very true.
Is that correct? It's just more technical. And this is the, just for those that see this as seamless, I guess this is the conduit through which we broadcast on that you're watching. If you watch the live show, that you're watching us through.
Right.
Is that right?
Yeah, they've got a portal that you use and everything else. And I got to tell you, look, I'm not the most technical person out there, but I would say I'm probably a little bit above average in terms of like figuring out this stuff.
Yeah.
And I couldn't figure it out. We had Briar, who I've mentioned on the show before, who's my coder, my main man. When it comes to tech, he is the Tony Stark of Mississippi. I'm sitting here telling him what it's telling me to do, and he doesn't know what it means. So I'm just saying, if we can't figure it out, then that means that it's way too complicated. But one way or the other, we did kind of figure it out, although I don't know how to replicate it. And we are here live with you this evening on Country Squire Radio.
That's it.
How was your day?
Man, it was good. Was able to get out of the shop for a little bit today. Caleb, yeah. The intern, faithfully watched the old Squire today for a little bit while I got to get out and run some errands and whatnot. And that was good. And now just enjoying kind of a sleepy afternoon, sitting here smoking my Jim Duchesne strawberry briar pipe, which was gifted to me at the Chicago Pipe Show by Jim, a listener of the show and good friend. And,
oh, wow.
Smoking some... Pure Virginia from Mac Baron, which is actually one of my top three tobaccos now, and that's really strange because that's kind of a strange pick for, you know, for folks. A lot of folks just don't. Even Virginia smokers just never really took to the HH Pure Virginia, but man, it's just become my jam. I love it. Just opened up a brand new tin. So yeah, man. Looking forward to a good night, good show, and might enjoy, as we're wrapping down summer, might enjoy a little Boodles tonight on the porch.
Oh, so, well, there you go.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah, this is the best kind of weather that we've got right now. When it's still a little tad too hot, but it's starting to get that perfect kind of comfortable porch weather.
Yeah, we're getting into porch season here in the Deep South. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to porching it up, and hopefully the mosquitoes will be a little... less rampant.
You know, we mentioned it last year, but I mean, has anybody yet developed the pipe tobacco that is a mosquito repellent as of yet?
You know, I don't know if the FDA would let me put like citronella in the in the tobacco.
Yeah, there's a
but
point
we could
to
submit
that.
It and see. I don't know. Maybe it would help with like Zika virus or something.
What if there was like a citronella like filter that you could put on top of the pipe, right? So that the pipe is powering the citronella as opposed to inhaling it.
I'll stick to bug spray.
Okay. Fair enough. I'm just trying to be all innovative.
No, that's great.
Well, look, man, we've got some great things happening tonight on this show. But first, we've got some great things happening just in general. For example, coming October 22nd, ladies and gentlemen,
man.
Country Squire Radio live from New Orleans.
Ow!
It's going to be awesome.
It's exciting, man. We have a date and a time now, right?
We got a date. We got a time. We got a location. We got all the stuff that you people have been waiting for. Here is the sitch. We will be October 22nd, New Orleans at the Chicago. Nope, not Chicago. So used to saying that in that promotional type
ba,
voice.
Ba, ba, ba.
Yeah. It's the Cigar Factory, which is on Decatur. If you've never been to the Cigar Factory, it's an awesome, awesome place. They actually hand roll the cigars in the factory. They'll be hand rolling it there as we are actively doing the show.
Now this is where we had our Country Squire meetup after the Chicago Pipe or New Orleans Pipe Show last year.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, on Decatur Street, just right there. I guess on the edge of the quarter, is that what you'd call that?
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
Yeah, but man, just a beautiful spot. Really kind people that work there. Super talented at rolling cigars.
Oh my gosh,
make a great cigar right there in house. And man, they're gonna let us let us set up shop right in their front door.
It is going to be awesome. We're so looking forward to it. They've got great folks out there that we are very much thankful for letting us have the event. It will be at 4:15, so everybody show up at 4 o'clock that afternoon. Again, that's the afternoon of October 22nd. Some more details to follow. We want to really make it a big, you know, we mentioned it on a previous episode, but this is really almost like a family reunion. That's kind of the spirit of what we're all wanting to do. We're all going to want to go down, meet up. We'll do a live broadcast. We want you guys to be there for it. We also want to encourage you to buy some cigars, even though we are pipe folks. Buy some cigars from the good folks at the Cigar Factory in New Orleans while you're there. Mm-hmm. More information as we get closer. But now you have a date. You've got a location. You have got a time. You've got all the details you need to go ahead and book your flight, book your hotel, make it happen. Join us. Let's have some fun in New Orleans. I think it's going to be a blast. Looking forward to getting a chance to meet some new people and then also connect with some folks we haven't seen in a while.
I'm so excited, man. Every time I think about going to New Orleans, I get chill bumps. You
really?
Know, it's one of those. It's one of those things that you know, we don't do often enough, even though we're only 3 hours away. That's just true. So close. Yeah. But man, it's great. It's just such a fun city with such an interesting history. The culinary delights are all over the place, and man, we'll be smoking it up. It'll be a lot of fun.
It's going to be a blast, man. It's going to be an absolute blast. Oh, and speaking of smoking it up, one of the reasons why we wanted very much to do it at the Cigar Factory is because that is one of the very few places in New Orleans that you can actually smoke.
That's the great thing.
Bring your pipes and your tobacco as well. It's going to be a blast. Also, this week, you know, we mentioned last week, but that we will actually, or I will actually be in San Francisco later this week. And you know, we were going to try to do a meetup. It sounds like we've got kind of some scheduling that's kind of up in the air. So if we do it, I think it is going to be on Wednesday night.
Okay.
So that's the night that this podcast goes out.
Yeah.
So if you happen to be in the San Francisco area and you want to meet up, follow me on Twitter and I will post out more information as it kind of becomes available. It's going to be kind of interesting, man. You know, we've got this big trip and we've got all these meetings that we've had to kind of reschedule and move around.
Yeah, yeah.
It's been a little crazy, but anyway, I'm looking forward to it.
No, it's going to be really exciting. Yeah, I know everyone's fired up about it. Hey, have we talked about the Texas Pipe Show yet?
We have not talked about the Texas Pipe
Show. Man, it's exciting because they actually have set a date for next year. October 7th, it's a lock on October 7th, 2017. The Texas Pipe Show right outside of Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. Man, put it on your calendar. If you feel like getting your Texas on, getting your pipe on, all the above.
Yeehaw!
Yeehaw, baby. Yeah, that's it.
Get on, little dogies.
Man, that's it. That's it. So I know we're all really excited about it, but yeah, just come on. We'll be there, I'm sure, in some capacity, and man, looking forward to Dallas Fort Worth on October 7th of 2017.
It's good, man. Hey, before we start getting a little bit deeper into the meat and potatoes here, last week at the shop you had a cigar event, correct?
We did. Yeah, it was great. You know, we are doing a little more cigar business than we used to. It's kind of funny, actually. We've got this a local competitor shop. They had some readjustments at their shop. I won't mention them by name. We've got some friends over there, but anyway, some of their regulars left, and they've started coming over here now. And so we all of a sudden our cigar business has kind of gone through the roof. And we were like, well, let's do a cigar event. We'll try it on for size. And so we did. And man, it was great. You know, it's funny though. All the pipe guys that were here that night, and several of which smoke cigars and enjoy their time, but they were commenting on how smoky it was in here. And it just goes to show you how different pipe smoke and cigar smoke can be.
Oh, interesting.
You know, I love a cigar and I smoke them regularly, but it's one of those things, the smoke is so much heavier and it lingers so much more than a pipe. And so I don't know if it's the particles are larger or it's just a denser smoke. I'm not sure, but you know, cigar smoke is just so much more prolific than pipe smoke. Man, we had these two smoke eaters in here going full blast at the same time. I mean, if this room were full of pipes, like you wouldn't hardly be able to tell, but man, it was full of cigars and dude, it was smoky. Yeah, it was smoky. But we had a great time. It was a lot of fun.
What is the technical term for the quote unquote smoke eater?
I think it's a smoke.
Is that what it's called?
Oh no. Well, you mean like an air purifier
or whatever, or the big thing that hovers and occasionally pops with electricity from time to time.
Oh yeah, that thing. Yeah. That's our smoke eater. Yeah. Okay. It just makes noises, kind of like a bug zapper.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Yeah. The thing about it is they, you know, people think it's got a short in it. It kind of has this electrical arcing noise, but actually that's where the smoke, the particles of dust actually get caught in those cells and kind of zap.
Fry up.
Yeah. So anyway. It's totally, when you hear
fortunately, that, it's good because there's nothing flammable around here. That would be really concerning.
No, nothing flammable in this shop at all. Yeah, at all. This is the fire sergeant's wildest, wonderful dream.
Yeah. I know, right? That's crazy. I was just curious because at some point maybe we should talk about that because the one that you've got up there, I feel like has been up here since the Dark Ages.
Yeah.
I'd just be interested to know kind of what's going on.
No, like, Charlemagne himself may have actually manufactured that smoky.
Yeah, that might be. Yeah. That might be. All right, man. Good stuff. And you know what else is good stuff?
Bean fruit coffee.
Bean fruit coffee. How about that for a transition?
It sure is, man. Gosh, every time I enjoy a cup of bean fruit coffee, which is sold here locally at many of our coffee shops, but is also available online, I can definitely taste the difference and know you will too.
You know, the great thing is, like you said, it is available for a lot of different shops, restaurants as well in the Mississippi area. But you don't have to come all the way down to Mississippi to enjoy fine quality coffee. Like you said, go to beanfruit.com, use the code CSR at checkout, get yourself 5% off when you're buying your coffee. It helps them, it helps us, it helps you because you get excellent quality coffee and the wake up in the morning that you need. Now, here's the wake up that you need right now for this show. We are talking, ladies and gentlemen, pipe culture. Now, pipe culture is a series that we do that we've done for many, many years. And the way that this works is we kind of almost take a outside looking in or maybe more of an inside looking in, look at the culture that surrounds the pipe, not just the nerdy aspects of, you know, the cut and the carve and the shape and the, you know, various tobaccos, but the culture that kind of permeates throughout the different
communities. Yeah, kind of stepping back and looking at ourselves, really.
Absolutely.
Yeah, as a pipe smoking community.
Yeah, this is, you know, to some extent, this is like a sociological examination. Mm-hmm. You know, we are here, there is a glass wall in which we are looking out upon the pipe community and gathering information to analyze. But no, I'm just kidding. It's nothing that scientific. Well, basically all we do is we basically, you know, pick topics that we feel really kind of have shared experience within the pipe community and put it out to you guys to gather your feedback as a community and share it here on the show. As I mentioned in the episodes leading up to this one, it's really a chance for us to turn the mics around,
yeah,
let your guys' voices be heard as it relates to these different aspects of pipe culture. Now, historically, whenever we do these things, we always get at least one kind of, I hate to say negative.
Yeah, but it's a critique of maybe our premise for doing that particular episode.
There's always a pushback of like, you know, why are you guys trying to make
this? Why are you talking about this?
Yeah, why are you trying to make this more than just pipes and pipe tobacco or something of that nature?
Right, right.
Why, you know, is this a weird hipster thing or something like that? And, you know, we respect all the feedback that we get and we appreciate all you know, anyone who would take the time to send us their thoughts. But at the same time, that always happens. There's always at least one,
yeah,
except for, yeah, this time.
And it's funny because this is a bit of a stretch. I mean, but at the same, I mean, we're talking about pipes and pets.
We're talking,
right,
about pipes and pets.
Pipes and pets, which is funny. You know, I when I hear this, I'm thinking, well, that's kind of a stretch, but we got so much feedback and so much interaction, folks just discussing some of their daily rituals and how it really does involve some of their four-legged and other-legged friends, and right, and so we're thrilled about that. Yeah.
You know, to me, man, there is, you know, when you think about smoking a pipe, especially in this day and age, I mean, it's kind of like what we were talking about last week in terms of fiction. If you see the pipe used by a character, then the director or the story creator, they were doing that intentionally,
yeah,
specifically.
Sure.
It's not something that's culturally commonly done.
Sure.
Therefore, to incorporate that person into pipe culture means that you're trying to communicate something about the pipe itself. There is something iconic about, you know, the imagery of sitting down, smoking your pipe, and, you know, having your cat on your lap or your dog right next to you.
Yeah, old Fido.
Exactly. I mean, you know, there's look, John David Cole. I mean, this is a man that when you see him, like, nobody takes that much time with that much hair and is not unaware of how they are perceived visually by society. In contrast, when someone has this kind of hair, you know this person doesn't care what society thinks of them visually. But my point is that when, you know, you think about John David Cole, Tobacco Jesus sitting back with his pipe,
this is ridiculous,
on his porch with his dog, like that, there's an imagery that goes with that.
Yeah, sure. Well, and you think of the old grandfather, grandpa, kind of sitting there, you know, in his rocking chair, slowly with maybe a hound dog by his side, and Yeah, I mean, you know, and nowadays, a lot of times that translates into, you know, those of us that work a 9-to-5 or otherwise getting home late, loosening up that tie, going out back or on the front porch, having a cocktail and a pipe. And you know, old Fido is there a lot, you know, it really is.
Does anyone really name their dog Fido anymore?
I'm going to do it one day. I'm going to do it one day because I've never seen a dog named Fido ever.
Fair enough.
Have you?
No, it's been a while.
No,
you're going to bring it back.
I have never seen a dog named Fido.
Right.
And like, and I think I think that means faithful in Latin.
Is that right?
I think that's right. Oh. Which is a really good name.
That is a good name.
It's a solid name, right? Yeah. But yeah, there are no Fido dogs anymore.
All right. Well, you bring it back.
What about Tom Cats? Do you see Tom Cats?
I actually had a cat named Tom.
You had a cat? Okay.
Yeah, yeah,
well,
yeah.
That's the thing.
But okay. It was a while back.
Yeah.
Tom ran away. He went to go live at the farm upstate. All right, so we got some great stuff here. Man, let's kick it off. We've got so many different thoughts and feedback that was sent in. And first of all, thank you to everybody who sent in your feedback. First one comes in from J.R. Max, who writes in and says, I occasionally have a pipe as I walk my dog or play with them in the yard, but it's mostly my cats sitting on my lap while I sit in my chair and enjoy my bowl.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the dog walking aspect of it, I actually remember when I got my dog, actually our first dog, who unfortunately is no longer with us, when I kind of announced to the world that Gibbs was joining the family,
yeah.
A lot of actually pipe smokers kind of tweeted me saying, hey, get ready, man. You've got a whole new excuse to go out and smoke your pipe when
that's
you're walking
exactly
your
right.
Dog.
It becomes a treat for both you and the dog, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So it's kind of your shared time of the day. It's like, okay, we're gonna do this together. I'm going to get out. I'm going to kind of disconnect from all the noise and all the chaos, maybe at home and certainly at work. And I'm going to bring my friend with me that requires very little attention, very little emotional, you know, awareness or connectedness other than just being present with you. And this dog is going to be thrilled to get out and I'm going to smoke my pipe. And you know, if you had a tail, you'd wag it then too.
right. We got up next from Eric. Is it Rise or Reese? How do you pronounce that?
I don't know. Eric Reese, maybe?
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, he says, I had a recent interaction with my blue tick coonhound that made me think of you guys. My dogs always get excited when we get a package in the mail. We order all their medicine, toys, and treats online. Last time I received a big package from Pipes and Cigars, my hound dog got really, really excited. As I unpacked the box and put the bulk stuff I ordered into jars, he was sniffing away as if it was all for him. After I put the jars on the shelf, he sat and stared at the tobacco for a long while, occasionally looking back at me to see if I would give him something, Eric. And, you know, he may have just wanted a little Christmas cheer. Or, you know, maybe some 1Q. I mean, I don't know. maybe your dog has a taste for the good stuff.
You know, it's interesting. There's a popsicle place I'm thinking of at the moment that's kind of local here, and they offer.
Yeah, Deep South, our friend Jake.
Well, no, it's actually not Deep South.
Oh, another one.
Yeah,
never mind.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Deep South doesn't allow dogs in, but this is another place that does, and they actually have a doggy popsicle. And
oh,
if you bring
right?
your dog, yeah,
yeah.
Then they give you a popsicle. Well, it's not, you know, it's not a real popsicle, but it's like a popsicle with dog
yeah.
food on it or something like that. To
yeah,
get
I
to
like that.
Dog.
Yeah.
Maybe that should start happening. Whatever you send around the little tobacco
maybe
for the
have
dog.
A mail order? Yeah, maybe a pipe treat for the dog. Yeah.
You know, the main thing
I
is.
I could see where that could be fun.
I'd be a little scared if you gave him like a treat that actually looked like a pipe. And actually, we've got one of our listeners sends in some similar feedback there in just a minute. But first, we got one from a user. This is a guy on Reddit.
Right.
And he typically sends in, I'm assuming it's a guy, maybe a gal, typically sends in comments whenever we do pipe culture. And I know that the name you particularly love, because you've commented it on in the past. This is from Uncle Jack Deserved It.
Right.
He says, every time I grab my pipe, my dog runs outside with me and hops up in my lap. Also, if I'm on the front porch with the front door open, she must smell the tobacco and run towards it again. My lap. So there is, you know, you think about dogs and their sense of smell.
Yeah.
I mean, what?
Well,
doesn't take a dog scent to figure out what's going on when you smell that pipe.
And they're also creatures of ritual and rhythm, much like the pipe smoker. And so, you know, you think about, you know, as a regular pipe smoker, someone that enjoys the procedure, someone enjoys the, you know, selecting the right pipe and, you know, putting the tobacco out, if it's a flake, maybe breaking it apart, loading it properly and all these things. And your dog is picking up on these rhythms and is doing the same thing. And so, you know, whenever you grab that pipe, the dog is going to gravitate towards that too, if that's kind of a thing that y'all share together. And so, you know, it's just like anything. The dog starts to associate the pipe with time with you. And I love that. I think it's beautiful.
That's good. Next up from Crimblade.
Crimblade, he says, my dog definitely plays a part in it. I'm assuming he's talking about pipe smoking. Most of the time I get to enjoy the pipe is spent either in the backyard with him throwing a frisbee between puffs or going for a long walk with him trotting beside. It's to the point where he'll start getting super excited when he sees me preparing a pipe. That kind of excitement used to be reserved for getting his leash. And it kind of goes back to what we were just talking about, the whole concept of, they're associating these things with, you know, the event itself, the enjoyment of, you know, either getting to go on the porch or go on the walk. And you know, that pipe, now that, when you start to reach for the pipe cabinet or your cellar, you know, your dog is kind of associating right. that with, oh, it's time to, like, you know, go, you know, pee in the bushes kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. Alligator Gar also kind of agrees with that same sentiment. He says, my dogs go sit by the humidor and cellar after dinner because they know what's up.
Yeah. I like that.
Now, as I mentioned, you know, if you were to give your dog a treat that happened to look like a pipe, it might be kind of dangerous.
Yeah.
Because some dogs like the pipe maybe a little bit too much.
This is really good.
As is the case with Bill Carr. Now, yep. what does Bill have to say?
Yeah, Bill says, my dog ate about $1,000 worth of pipe.
Oh!
Yeah, we should just stop there and grieve for a minute.
Moment of silence.
God bless them. And also with you. But man. Yeah, that's worth a moment of silence. He says, my dog ate about $1,000 worth of pipes. She also ate eyeglasses, a couch, a laptop, two phones, a couple of spatulas, 100 rolls of toilet paper. Ooh. And paper towels, shirts, shorts, books, and shoes. And then he immediately pivots by saying, this is the most kind, gentle, and inspiring creature I have ever met. She just turned 3. She's a German Shepherd Weimaraner mix. Her name is Kamala. Man, what a great name. What a great dog. How did you not beat the ever-living tar out of this dog?
I mean...
Maybe you did. I don't know. But yeah, it's funny. You know, she had a taste for fine tobacco. I think my thing... with my dog, of course, I have a dog. Her name is Penny. She's an American Brittany Spaniel. And she's one of those creatures that, you know, she's just real ADHD, kind of like her dad. And so, she interacts with everything she sees that's new. And it's I relate to her a lot. I think if I were in dog form, I would be Penny, my dog. But whenever she sees pipe tobacco, particularly tobacco that's loose, that's fallen on the ground, she's on top of it immediately. And my whole job while I'm setting up my pipe and kind of getting ready for smoking is to keep my dog from eating my pipe tobacco.
Right.
So, you think about it. It smells good.
Right.
To her, it probably, you know, tastes really interesting. And
reminds her of you.
Reminds her of me, you know, obviously. So, she wants to consume this stuff. And so my whole goal when I smoke my pipe around my dog is to keep her from eating my delicious pipe tobacco.
Has she ever gotten into it?
She's eaten a few leaves here and there, but yeah. So far, to my knowledge, she's never eaten mass quantities.
I bet if you put that twist in front of her, she would like go to town on.
No, she would. Yeah,
twist tobacco.
No, it would. It would. I'm sure there would be a vet bill involved in that. But I'll be honest. I'd love to see Penny on nicotine. I think that'd be great.
I just looked up Weimaraner.
Yeah.
Very large dog, and so like the combination of being
beautiful
such a large dog.
Oh,
gorgeous.
Yeah.
But the combination of that with the German Shepherd, I can imagine probably being able to put away quite a bit like a goat. we also got Razzle, who said, my dog is a 7-year-old pit bull named Boo. He plays Boo. A huge role into my enjoyment of the pipe. I come home from work every night and take her out and fire up one of my cobs. Makes for a good 15 to 20 minute end of the day. She's usually waiting by the door for me when I come home. She perks up every time I reach for my pipe because it means that, it's either time for walk or a good belly rub. I love that, man.
Yeah. Creatures of habit, you know, and of rhythm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny because, like I said, with this particular thought I did, or with this particular topic, I thought we'd get some pushback typically whenever we get pushback, that's where the enthusiasm lies. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Nobody ever wants to just push back and be like, I don't know. That's probably not a good idea. Like, yeah, that's always like,
they're going
to
tell you why and like, you know, give you a whole, theses of reason.
Exactly. Now, this next one, when I read it with the kind of enthusiasm that typically comes with the negative.
Yeah.
But of course, this is quite positive.
Yeah.
This comes from Roz.
Yeah. Roz says, are you kidding? Of course my dogs are part of it. My Chihuahua Cody loves tobacco almost as much as I do. He helps me pick my cigars. He'll sniff each one of them and then select one for us. Wow, that's impressive.
How?
I make a good drug dog.
I mean, seriously, that's crazy.
Since I've started on the pipe, I'll hold out different tins, pouches, and jars to him, and the one that makes him wiggle and wag his tail usually is the one I'll pick for the evening. He never has steered me wrong yet. He also shares my general dislike of Latakia and leans towards Virginias and lately Burleys. Man, I wonder if you could breed this animal.
How could you train your dog to do that? That's incredible.
He says, for cigars, he also shares my love of Maduros. He has to be on my lap or beside me when I smoke my pipe or my cigars and wants to constantly get in my face and smell my mustache and beard and get a little taste for himself. I'm really liking this. The imagery here is great. He's a tobacco fiend. I try very hard to keep the smoke away from him, but that doesn't stop him from getting up in my grill every chance he gets while I'm smoking. He's quite the man's dog, despite being a little bitty thing. He loves tobacco and whiskey. He says, I have to watch him carefully to make sure I keep him out of the Islay scotch that he'll dive his face into head first if I'm not super careful. You know, the peaty, leathery stuff that most people shy away from. So that's exactly right, man. You nailed it. I think all the good stuff there, your dog is on point with. And we should talk about, you know, maybe some kind of breeding operation.
I'm telling you, man, that sounds incredible. Here's the question though. Have you ever seen a drunk Chihuahua?
I have not.
Nor have I.
I wouldn't mind seeing one.
I'm just saying, like, I don't want to damage what is clearly the most gifted, like, Chihuahua that God has ever put on the earth. I don't want to damage the brain there. But at the same time, like, you know, if this Chihuahua keeps going for the scotch,
yeah,
it's just a little bitty thing. Like, imagine a glass of scotch is about the size of most Chihuahuas.
That's true.
Depending on how you pour it.
Or their head, you know.
Well, yeah. Depends on how you pour it.
Yeah, that's true.
But I got to tell you, man, I'd love to see it. We got a lot of dog love. Of course, we did kick it off with some mention of a cat. We did have Jax who mentioned, my tuxedo cat won't leave home without his Savinelli dress pipe.
Nice.
I don't know what that means, but
that's
I just
great.
Love the imagery.
I'm not even sure Savinelli makes a dress pipe anymore, but I know Dunhill does, and they are beautiful. And you know, a tuxedo cat would need a solid dress pipe, I think. But, you know, as a cat would do, you know, it would have to be a very particular blend of tobacco, otherwise they just won't have much to do with it.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, a tuxedo cat is your black cat with the white belly.
I just think it'd be like white, white accent.
Because Jack, you remember Jack?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
do.
Jack is no longer with us.
Bless his heart.
I know. But he was very, like, that is exactly when I think tuxedo cat, he was that, except he had a little half mustache that was right to the left side of his own cheek. It was white on his face, except for that little black mustache. Although if you moved it just slightly to the center, Cat Hitler. Or Cat Charlie Chaplin.
Or Cat Charlie.
But
right.
He didn't have the hat, so.
Right.
Cat Hitler.
Right.
He's no longer with us. I loved that cat so much. But
he was a good kitty.
He was. Well, guys, thank you all so much. Let me actually just check real quick, because I know we got some Facebook messages. I kind of put it in earlier today, and I've seen a few roll in.
Kind of come through. Yeah.
So let me.
This is great. It made me think a lot about my own experiences with Penny while smoking a pipe, a lot of which come, you know, particularly right after I cut the grass, which is always fun. But so I'm just covered in all these incredible smells, you know, typically involving, the yard. And it's that one more thing that, stimulates kind of her senses. And she's always a big fan. So it's pretty special.
Have you ever had a dog other than Penny? Like for you, like you personally?
Say it again.
Have you ever had a dog other than Penny? Like before Penny?
Yeah. Well, when I growing up, I had a Shetland sheepdog named Sam. And Samson was just a long-haired Shetland sheepdog, kind of like Lassie, but like basically a lot of folks call them miniature collies. They look like a collie, but small. And he was great. But that was well before my pipe smoking days.
Gotcha. Yeah. but in your kind of solo adult career,
Penny's it. Yeah, gotcha. She's the love of my life.
Yeah, we had a ton of cats growing up, and then we just Gibbs. We tried out Gibbs for a couple of months, and he wasn't the right fit for our family.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we have Isley now, and Isley is the most perfect dog ever.
She's a peach.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
Looks like we've got some more cat love, though, on the Facebook. Kanaha, hope I'm pronouncing that correct, said, my cat Molly loves to swat pipe cleaners down the hallway. I have to make sure she doesn't fish a used one out of the garbage or steal one from the pile on my desk.
Nice.
We also have got from Jason Naff, who says, I have a young blue heeler. I named him Podo after one of my favorite literary characters, Podo Helmer, an old salty pipe-smoking pirate from the Wingfeather saga by Andrew Peterson. If you like C.S. Lewis, you'd love the Wingfeather books.
So, nice.
Great
nice.
Stuff. A couple more on here as well. Guys, we've gotten so many great comments and thoughts emailed in and Facebook messaged in. Y'all are so wonderful whenever we do these pipe culture episodes. And so we thank you. We thank you all. And you know, in the future, be looking out in the future for more pipe culture discussions. But I think it's safe to say that pets do play a role in pipe culture.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they certainly do, you know, even from a kind of an archetype standpoint, you know, like you mentioned before, kind of in your mind, what you think of as, you know, pipe smoker. You know, you've got your, you know, porch and maybe your glass of whiskey and a lot of times your friend, your dog.
Yep. I love it, man.
Yep.
Absolutely. Well, hey, and we're getting some pictures in from folks right now as y'all are tuning in. Smoking your pipe with your dog, and so we're retweeting those out as we're getting those. Thank y'all so much.
You know, I love that photo of Joe Wright. He's got his cat kind of perched behind him, and in a big old blocky headed dog right next to him with his with his Briar Nation shirt on. That's really sweet.
That's right. He's got like Noah's Ark up in there.
Yeah. No. Exactly.
Noah, pipe smoker. Probably. Maybe.
I would think so.
Who knows?
Yeah. I'm sure we'll have some theologians comment on that.
I know, that'll be great. Love to get that feedback. Well, man, good stuff. And you know what else is good stuff?
Man, corncob pipes.
Corncob pipes from Missouri Meerschaum.
That's right. That's right.
Missouri Meerschaum.
And tonight, we actually want to talk about the little devil.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about the little devil.
And this is really cool. You know, a couple weeks ago, we talked about this kind of hobby that's becoming a thing, and that's modifying corncob pipes.
Oh, let's be honest. It's become a thing. We're just late to the party.
We're just late to the party. Yeah, yeah, you know, we've never really done it ourselves, or at least I haven't. You have a modified corncob pipe, and now the shop does too. And this is beautiful. This is actually from listener Lonnie Lowry. Lonnie, longtime listener from Ohio, he actually has sent us a little devil cob that he has gone full on Bob Ross with.
I mean, hardcore Bob Ross.
And it's amazing. I'm gonna take some close up shots just so we can really you know, let folks appreciate this better. But he's got our logo on the side with a little pipe and just some beautiful man trees. There's a waterfall, all kinds of like a meadow with some clouds. It's incredible. And man, this is the little devil cob from Missouri Meerschaum. So
it's a gorgeous little pipe. You know, the
really pretty.
The little devil is real sharp. You know, doesn't take up much space. If you're talking about traveling, it's a great travel pipe.
That's right.
I've got one very similar to it that was a gift from the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum, and I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
This one, like you mentioned in particular, having this wonderful artwork on it from listener. What was listener's name again?
Lonnie Lowry. Yeah.
All right, Lonnie, I got to ask you, did they say like specifically Bob Ross inspired?
Well,
because I mean, artwork.
I can't remember if he did or not, but yeah, it's basically a picturesque like pastoral scene of, you know, we've got again waterfall, trees, happy little bushes. It's incredible.
I mean, the style is very much like even like the highlights and everything, you can almost hear Bob Ross saying, hey, we're gonna put this happy little tree right there. You know, the sound of that brush stroke.
No, you can't. It just kind of makes that little sound.
Yeah.
But he put a lot of hard work in it. Lonnie, we really appreciate it, man. And I just want you to know this is something that we will find a treasured place for right here at the Country Squire. And you know, I would love to tell you how this smokes, but I'm not gonna smoke it. I don't think I could do that.
Well, so. I will tell you from what I've been able to smoke from my little devil, which is quite a bit. It smokes like a dream.
Yeah.
Yours may not have the artwork on it, but doesn't matter. You can use it for a beautiful canvas, or you can use it for a great smoke.
That's it.
Head over to Missouri Meerschaum, pick yourself up one today. Let them know that we sent you.
That's it.
Pipe question of the week.
All right, ma'am. Pipe question of the week.
Yeah, what we got?
All right, this comes in from Mark VV. We know Mark. We love Mark. He says, I'm fairly meticulous about cleaning. Maybe not around the house, but at least my pipes.
Yeah, the living room's a wreck, but right. My pipes are all clean.
Right. At least you got the standard somewhere. I use pipe cleaners after every smoke, so a question that I figured will help me and other relative novices is that sometimes I find some of the tobacco will adhere to the walls of the bowl and will come off if I scrape with a pipe tool. Is it better just to leave the tobacco, or will it go rancid and sour the pipe after the flavors I taste, or and affect the flavors that I taste? Do you risk the pipe or cake if I scrape it out? Again, yeah. This is Mark VV, our buddy down in NOLA.
Yeah. And love Mark, real good friend of the show. And Mark, great question. You know, you do often when you get done smoking your pipe have a lot of these kind of errant, you know, particles that are along the side of the bowl, and certainly chunks of, you know, tobacco that never got burned or maybe didn't come out when you, you know, finally, you know, got, you know, rid your pipe of its ashes. And my rule of thumb on this is anything in the bowl that is not a natural cake where it is uniform, where the cake is uniform. If the cake is not uniform, if there's something in the bowl that threatens the kind of uniformity of the cake,
okay, right.
Then I'm going to take that out. And right. So basically what I'll do, I'll scrape the side of the pipe inside with my pipe tool, you know, just real gently to kind of get just any loose particles off. And then a lot of times I'll just take my pinky and kind of stick in there and just rub around, and just anything that comes out with that, I'll take out as well.
Check it for lumps.
Yeah. You got to check it for lumps.
That's what you got to do.
Yeah. It's very important.
Oh, yeah. No, it's extremely.
You should do that regularly.
But, I do.
Yeah.
And my pipes too.
that's great. But on average, anything that does not contribute to an even cake on the inside of the bowl, I would remove from the bowl, and generally that goes, you know, to say for loose tobacco particles that are still in there. So a lot of times, you know, when I'm done with my bowl, I'll kind of take my check tool or, you know, whatever my instrument is that I'm using, and I'll kind of gently go around the you know, side there, kind of fluff up all the ashes, and then gently dump them out. Typically we'll kind of tap the top of the bowl on my palm and let the ashes fall out. And then if there's anything loose, errant in there that just kind of doesn't look like maybe it belongs, that's when I'll either take my pinky and just gently rub it out, or take my pipe tool and kind of gently scrape it off the side. So yeah, but I think it's a good idea to do that. You want your cake to have an even, you know, an evenness to it, but then you also, you know, want it to stay fresh. And I think keeping all the, you know, loose particles out there that are not a part of the cake, you know, is a good idea.
All right. Let me propose a hypothetical to you.
Yeah.
You clean it out your bowl. You've kind of got, you found a lump, right? You found that you want to try to clean it out. You clean it out, but lo and behold, the chunk went deeper than the cake that's around the bowl. So now you actually have a divot as opposed to a lump. See what I'm saying?
You lost me at lump. Or divot.
Well, all right. So does that not? So, maybe that doesn't happen. I was just thinking, like, if you've got a cake built up that you like and is good, and you're cleaning out your bowl, but you've got kind of some unevenness, right? So maybe like a flake or something is kind of stuck down in there. You go to remove the flake, but in so doing, you've now created, instead of a bump into your into the rim of it, actually kind of a divot or like a indention down into the cake. So the cake is no longer even, but rather than jutting out, sink it back in.
I see what you're saying. Almost if you like remove too much or something.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I don't think that's necessarily what Mark is talking about here, but occasionally that will happen. You know, if you've got kind of this, you know, charred portion on the side and you're like, man, if I could just scrape a little bit of that out, and then you do, and you know, before you know it, kind of half the cake comes out. That's why, you know, you don't want to be way too picky when it, you know, is just a carbon layer in there. And that's also the handiness of a reamer, one of these senior pipe tools that you'll find that kind of looks like something off Star Wars or something. You know, you buy them for $35 online, but they're these reamers that you put down in there will adjust to the width of your bowl and then scrape it real evenly. So that's always a plus too.
But
you do want to try, if you're doing that, to you know, to keep your cake as even as possible. And you know, if that does happen, you know, you may decide to remove some of the cake on the other side of the bowl, just to kind of bring it back down to evenness, or maybe ream it. But you know, that's unfortunate. Occasionally that does happen.
I think about my wife when she goes out to trim the bushes outside. Like, she'll get a little bit too overzealous on one side, and then she'll try to even it out on the other side, but then it goes down, and then it's like, you know,
before you know it, you don't have any bushes.
Let's just rip out the bushes altogether. It's kind of like that. Well, great question, Mark VV.
Yeah, hey, good question.
If you've got a pipe question of the week, please send it in, csr@podastery.com.
Quick fire with the squire.
Quick fire question! All right, these quick fire questions come in from thispipelife.com. And hey, speaking of listeners that we love, Pappy Joe.
Oh man, Pappy Joe sent in some in.
Man, Pappy Joe actually on thispipelife.com on that thread, he sent in a ton. And so I like sprinkling them in from time to time. These are super, super nerdy.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'll do what I can.
I think you know these people. I think we're okay. Captain, and these are fighting, by the way.
Okay.
So like versus.
Oh, fighting. Okay.
It's a battle.
Got it.
I don't think a rap battle. I think it's more like literally throwing down.
Like a literal, like, okay. Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Captain Kirk versus Captain Jack. Kirk Enterprise.
Yeah.
Jack Sparrow.
Jack Sparrow, right. Captain Kirk.
This is the tale of Captain Jack Sparrow, pirate so brave on the seven seas.
That's right. I forgot about that.
I love that one.
It's so really good.
Mystical. I'm not going to go the whole thing.
No, don't. But it's fantastic, and you should. What is that from? Is that
it's Lonely Island?
It's Lonely Island, right? Yeah. They've got what's his name?
Michael Bolton.
Michael Bolton. Yeah. Is doing this thing. It's fantastic.
That's
but anyway,
so great.
Yeah, you should Google that if you haven't.
Links
already.
Links in the show notes.
Yeah. But yeah, I have to go with Captain Kirk. He's got like phasers and stuff.
He did battle like a lizard, but that lizard looked pretty. Much like a guy in a rubber suit. Captain Jack fought. I feel like if Captain Jack had prep time, then he could outwit Captain Kirk. But in terms of like a straight up battle.
If it was no weapons involved, Captain Jack. But since it's.
Oh, see, I was going to go the other way.
Since it's weapons involved, I have to go with Captain Kirk.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I was going to go the other way. I'm going to give it to Captain Jack.
Okay.
I'm going to give it to Captain Jack.
Okay.
Captain America versus Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
That's a tough one.
Spider-Man's got the webs and Captain America has the underwear.
That's true. yeah, Spider-Man has the underoos. I mean, you got to give it to Spider-Man, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's got more superpowers, but Captain America is more experienced. And Spider-Man kind of looks up to Captain America. And actually, in the Civil War movie, Captain America kind of beats Spider-Man.
Okay.
But in the comics, I'm going to give it to Spider-Man. I like Spider-Man more. Thor versus Hercules.
Hercules.
Thor, come on, Hercules.
I don't know a lot about these things, but I just think of Hercules as being stronger and more versatile.
Okay, but see, as strong as Hercules is, and he is, Thor is that strong plus lightning and hammer.
And he's got his hammer.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to go with Hercules.
All right, fair enough. I'm going with Thor. All right, there you go. Great questions, Pappy Joe. I'm sure we'll get a lot of great nerd rage on the old Twitters to figure out what everybody else thinks. Hats off to the Kirk versus Jack. That one...
That's good.
I still don't feel very confident even about my answer. You know what I mean? Like, that one might haunt me for a little while. Might actually put that one out there to Facebook and Twitter at some point this week. But great pipe questions. And hey, great quick fire questions. And again, these came in from Pappy Joe through the forums over at thispipelife.com.
That's right.
Thispipelife.com. I'm a sponsor for this show and a great online community. If you have not done so already, go to thispipelife.com and register to be joined that community. It's absolutely free to do. And you can also enter in the code CSR when you do so to help out this program and let them know that you heard about it here. You know, when you log in, not only do you find a beautiful website, you also find a community of folks ready to talk about pipes, pipe tobacco, you know, with as much as we try to do pipes and pipe tobacco justice,
right?
We are only two guys, and only one of them has any real knowledge. You know, if you're looking for a community of knowledge, a community of experience, thispipelife.com is a great place to do it.
Again, absolutely.
Enter in the code CSR when you sign up to help support this show.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
Listener feedback this week. We got a follow-up, actually, from last week.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Fox wrote in. You know, Fox is the one that was coveting your Bing's favorite.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that's right. I think he had asked a question about trying to get one kind of on the cheap, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. He says, to Country Squire Radio, hey, Bo, please let Tobacco Jesus know our pipe prayers have been answered, and I found a $60 Bing's favorite estate pipe since last week's show, and I love it. Bing's been in the shop helping me build a handmade bookcase for a seminary/pastor friend. Also, my 5-year-old girl was watching me sell her my first batch of tobacco yesterday, and I let her smell some Lane's 1Q. Can you guess what she said? smells like craisins and raisins.
That's ridiculous. You better teach her to forget those things. Now that she's young, yeah. I told you, like, you can find these deals occasionally as they pop up. Like, you know, as far as a new Bing's Favorite goes, it's just one of theirs that, you know, if you're going to get it new, you know, straight from the dealer, you'll probably pay closer to fuller price. But, you know, occasionally on the old interwebs, you'll find one for cheap. So $60, that's about as good as you can find for a Bing's Favorite that's in really good condition. So congrats, man. Yeah. Hope your daughter learns to love that raisin flavored tobacco.
Raisin craisin.
Yeah.
I just love the word craisin.
Yeah.
We also got some comments in from Jeremy Davis. You
yeah.
Read that one?
Yeah. Jeremy says, you guys should do a budget version of Squire Select for us poor folk sometime. I recommend Rebel Yell Bourbon. It's wheated, but still enough corn to be bourbon. About $12 a fifth here. Might be too weak for Beau, but I like it. I'd recommend Peter Stokeby Luxury Twist Flake to pair. From Jeremy. I will say in our defense, you know, we did do the Old Charter.
Twice.
We did it twice?
Twice.
But we've done Old Charter. So there's one option for the budget drinker there. Not Old Charter 8-year-old, but just Old Charter 8. Highly recommended. But yeah, Rebel Yell's pretty good. Yeah, I've had it before. Not too bad. So yeah, we'll take a look at that. We should do some more budget options as far as some of these scotches and things that we pick. A lot of times they're you know, kind of on the more expensive side. Yeah.
What is this deal? I mean, this is really more of a question for a Squire Select episode, but what is the deal about wanting to like make a bourbon that's as little bourbon as possible? Like enough corn to get across the line.
Well, because they want to call it bourbon, but they don't want to spend a lot of money making it.
Well, but then it tastes like wheat. I don't like the wheat.
Okay. You don't have to.
I'm just, you know, like
that's why they make chocolate and vanilla. You know, you get to pick yours.
No, but they don't make. They don't make a vanilla, or they don't make a chocolate that's just chocolate
that's
enough so that they can call it chocolate.
Right?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Call it vanilla, and I can say I don't like vanilla. Don't try to make.
But if they could make a chocolate that was 51% chocolate and was really cheap to produce, and people would still purchase it, they would do it.
Yeah.
You know I'm right.
No, I know you're right. That's the problem. That's absolutely the problem. Well, good stuff. We've also got one. You know, this is actually an email that we got in about a year ago.
Yeah.
I was kind of combing through. He actually sent another email recently, and so I was trying to find this email that he sent and ended up finding this one, and so I wanted to include it. Sometimes
That's
emails
great.
Fall through the cracks.
Yeah.
So this is definitely one. It says, Dear Bo and John David, I'm finally all caught up on the podcast.
Actually, from a year ago.
Yeah, from a year ago. Actually, for a few months now. So I get to listen to current shows. I just took a road trip to North Carolina, my home state, and loaded old episodes to further my pipe knowledge. On one of the episodes, you mentioned that you would like to do an episode on doctors, teachers, and others that enjoy pipe smoking, but it might seem out of the ordinary. I think that is how y'all phrased it. Well, I'm a Missouri teacher.
Montessori.
Sorry. Well, I'm a Montessori teacher here in Memphis who enjoys a pipe. I teach 3 to 6-year-olds at our school, and occasionally I will mention to the parents that I smoke pipes and cigars. They usually find it a bit strange, as if it is not somehow congruent with my career. Anyways, if y'all do a show on this, I would be happy to share more with y'all. Keep up the great work, and happy smokes, Nielsen.
What an interesting comment. Yeah. It's kind of like all the teachers that you had in high school, you know, they probably drank beer, but didn't go to the same places to buy beer that your parents did, kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well,
at least at my high school.
Right.
Yeah.
I do recall, like, when I was in college, going to a bar back home.
Yeah.
And running into some of my high school teachers at the bar.
I love that.
It was just a little weird for me.
I love that.
Like now it's fine, but I mean, like back then,
it's kind of strange. You know, you think, oh, well, they don't really do that. What's funny is that one of my high school guidance counselors is now a customer of mine at the Country Squire, and she doesn't actually purchase the tobacco for herself. Her fiance, now fiance, is a is a pipe smoker, and he comes and shops here, but she comes here regularly and buys tobacco from me.
Right.
The guidance counselor, who I'm sure put on many a no-smoking event in our high school gym. And so, it's just kind of funny. You know, I love that. I think it's honest, Nelson, that you can, you know, kind of be open with your, you know, kids' parents about some of your passions and hobbies, and I think you should. Yeah.
I think that there is an interesting... I don't know if it's a pipe culture episode, but it may be a series unto itself of, I smoke a pipe, you know, hi, my name is doctor and I smoke a pipe, or hi, my name is teacher and I smoke
and
a pipe.
And I'm a pipe smoker. Right.
Yeah. You know, like there might be, we might do something like that. I know.
Yeah.
Obviously a while back we kind of kicked around the idea, and we got, you know, throughout the years, we've got a lot of folks who say, yeah, I'm a doctor and I smoke a pipe, and it's awesome.
Well, and actually, as far as the teachers go, we've got a teacher in Mississippi that I'm aware of right now, just on the top of my head, who, intentionally does not have a Facebook account associated with himself, because he, you know, is afraid that, you know, some of his pipe smoking, cigar interest stuff will pop up on there, and he doesn't really want that to, you know, come across his kids' feed. So, it's fascinating. It'd be worth maybe looking into.
I think so. Yeah. I think so. Absolutely. Well, great feedback across the board, and hey, great comments, thoughts, and stories shared tonight as part of this pipe culture episode. You know, we love the community that's kind of wrapped themselves around the show.
Yeah.
And we just love the community of pipe smokers just in general. And so we really appreciate it. Not just for, this particular week, but always tuning in and, you know, any chance we get to give you guys more opportunity to share your thoughts on the show, we want to do that. So
yeah.
Thank y'all so much for doing that. All right. You can also do that throughout the week, actually. If you follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/CountrySquireRadio. You can also keep up with us on Twitter. I'm at The Real Bo York.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop at @_CountrySquire.
And of course, you can follow the show at Squire Radio. Be sure also to keep up with me this week, as I will be in San Francisco. Well, that is to say, if you are in San Francisco,
yeah,
be sure to keep an eye on my Twitter handle as well.
Dude, it's exciting. Meetup, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's we're kind of... We'll figure it out as we get along. That's the main thing, is just trying to figure out scheduling. So it'll be very last minute, but probably Wednesday night. So hopefully some of y'all will be able to meet up very last minute, and I think it'll be fun. Also, there was a guy actually out in Los Angeles who actually got with me earlier today about trying to get together, but I don't know if his work schedule is going to work out. So we'll figure it all out. I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Man, exciting time. I know there's a lot of listeners out in the Bay Area, and of course, you know, California, different laws. You know, you may find trouble, you know, finding a place to join together and light up, but I'm sure there's some haunts around there that someone locally can point you to.
I was like, do you know who I am? I'm Bo York from Country Squire Radio.
And they'll be like, sir, I'm sorry, our restrooms are for customers only.
The world is my restroom, sir. No, I think it'll be
something
great.
Something like that.
I think it'll be great. It'll be a lot of fun. Which, by the way, if you happen to have any recommendations in terms of just where to eat, what to do,
yeah,
we need that. We need to know. We need to know how to spend our time.
It's exciting.
All right, man.
Dude, I had a great time.
Awesome time talking
about pipes
pets.
And pets, right? Yeah. I mean, it makes me want to go home right now and cradle my pup and smoke my pipe, and I probably am gonna join that with maybe some Boodles tonight, some Boodles Gin.
Yeah. All right, man.
We're in the final throes here of the summertime heat here in the South. I think it might be a nice gin night.
The heat goes away, the gin goes away.
It does. Yeah. It does. It'll be time for brown liquor.
Oh my goodness! I had a honey brown ale earlier today.
Who made
that? It was at Pig and Pint, and it was fine.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, so good. Ugh. All right, that's a conversation for another show. But until then, hey, let's go have a night.
See you, brother.
Listening to Country Squire Radio, a member of the Podastery Network. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.